It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
We could leave the ball in Cook's hand. We could put it in Dalton's hand. We could put it in Knox's hand. We could put it in 13. We could put it on zero. We could put it on so many different guys at any point in the game. And I think that that's what is keeping the game more exciting and more fun, because don't nobody know where that ball is.
I've said 1,000 times, and I keep saying it, he's a freak of nature. I mean, even when he's throwing the ball, he's putting the ball to where only we can make the play on it. So freak of nature, dog, I mean, all those things.
Allen back to pass, looking right, now over the middle, complete to Shakir, races away from the defender, 10, 5, spins into the end zone for the touchdown. Now steps up in the pocket, throws, now he's going to run, and the beast has once again been released. Josh Allen with a 6-yard touchdown romp.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
It is Football Friday. Happy Football Friday, everybody. Beautiful day. Sun is shining.
Mm-hmm. Less humidity today, I saw, too.
Good.
That'll be nice.
Football Friday brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. By Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. So, I got to tell you one thing. We joked right before the break about, like, you said it's National One-Hit Wonder Day. Who's the best one-hit wonder in sports?
Yeah.
You got two answers sent in during the break.
Okay. One is a football one. Jonas Gray. Remember Jonas Gray? Oh, yes, I do.
Jonas Gray.
Playing him in fantasy.
He ran against him. 200 yards and 4 touchdowns for the Patriots and was on the cover of Sports Illustrated that week and would only score 1 touchdown the rest of his career.
Yeah.
But Marty Baron texted in the best one. It's tough to beat.
Okay.
The best one-hit wonder, example of a one-hit wonder in all of sports. If you go season instead of game.
Okay. Which is fine.
And I mentioned this to Josh in the break, not to you. Josh didn't know who this person was. Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I didn't know who this person was either.
Not the
actor?
No. Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he doesn't strike me as someone that would be like a sports athlete that went actor.
All right. Here's your example of a one-hit wonder. Jim Carrey, at age 21, won the Vezina Trophy with the Washington Capitals.
Okay.
And never had a save percentage above 900 again. He won the Vezina.
Yeah.
And was gone.
That was it.
That was it. Good year.
The 90s?
1995-96.
Okay, so save percentages were a little higher then. It's a trap era, isn't it? A little bit at the end?
Well, the
with the Capitals, he won the Vezina.
Oh, hold on. He won the Vezina. This is a Hasek year. This is one of the strangest things you'll ever see. Here are the Vezina winners. Hasek, Hasek, Jim Carrey, Hasek, Hasek, Hasek. Let me give you the save percentages.
Where was Hasek that year?
Let me give you the save percentages.
Okay. 930,
906, 930, 932, 937.
Did they just get bored of giving it to Hasek, or was he like hurt that year? What happened? What happened in 96?
In 1995-96, Dominic Hasek had a save percentage of 920.
Okay, that feels like robbery. What did we just got sick of telling it, giving it to him? His record was bad.
He went 22-30-6.
Okay, so they gave it to the guy who won more?
They gave it to a worse goalie.
I think... Wait, so how many Vezinas did Hasek win in total?
Six.
Six? I think they robbed him of winning six in a row.
Because they were bored.
That's an injustice. Yeah. They should go back in time and correct that. He should have won six Vezinas in a row. Were the rest of them in a row? I actually didn't even look at that.
There's one other gap. In the other gap, he had a save percentage of 919.
Who won it that year?
It's 1999.
Brodeur with a 902 and 40 wins.
That's 99-2000. Brodeur. That was won by Olaf Kolzig.
Another Capital.
917.
Was he on the Capitals then?
Yes.
What's going on? Washington?
They got bored of giving that to Hasek. To Hasek. Like, we should give it to a Washington player.
That seems... It seems ridiculous. I think he should have won. Okay, he should have won 8 Vezinas in a row.
Yeah. 803-0550. Anyway, it's Football Friday, so there you go. If you want to give us a call on the Ravens, on the matchup, you know, what you think about this game, this matchup, I'm going in pretty confident. I mean, our conversation about 40 minutes ago with Brian Wacker, the Baltimore Sun, that the Ravens' pass defense has not been good.
Yeah.
I just have a ton of belief in the Bills' coaching staff on both sides of the ball. And, you know, it's at the risk of being prisoner of the moment, because a year ago we probably believed in Ken Dorsey to a degree. They started off really great. They beat Washington by 30 or something, right?
Yeah.
They threw the ball to 10 different receivers in that game, 9 or 10 different receivers in that game, too. I heard Mike Schoep reference that earlier this week, that last year they spread the ball around early. So,
okay, yeah.
All that said, I feel like I have a lot of faith in the coaching staffs on both sides of the ball right now. And, you know, what's Baltimore going to do here? If their pass defense is not very good, they're going to be the team to stop the Bills. And
right.
If their run attack with Derrick Henry is the same as it's always been against the Bills, then I'm not that worried.
Right. They've also done a pretty good job of keeping Lamar Jackson in check when it comes to like running around and scrambling. 80 yards in three games, the last three games scrambling.
Total.
Like, that's not that bad. That's not that bad at all. I didn't count the first game that he played against the Bills because he came into the second half. Feels like that game was out of hand, and they might not have been game planning for him anyway, first game of his career. So, I don't know. Like, again, it's kind of strange that these are two players that have been elite all-world players in the National Football League for years, and when they've played the Bills, they see career lows. Jackson's yards per attempt against the Bills is lower than against any other opponent he's ever played. And Henry, the Bills often do a good job of keeping him in check. It's like one big run accounts for like a third of his production against the Bills. So I've got two guys. The Bills do a really good job of figuring out how to stop them, but you've also never tried to stop them when they're standing next to each other.
True.
So can you do it to both of them at the same time?
Yeah, when you go biggest stars in the league, like Tyreek Hill, add him to the list. Most number one weapons in an offense, whether it's, you know, the Belichick mantra, take away what a team does best. I mean, a lot of teams try to do that.
But the Bills do it.
The Bills are pretty good at that.
Like, who's the best player that always gives them headaches?
Kelsey.
Okay, yeah.
That's one.
Yep.
But right about now, that doesn't look like it's happening against any team.
If that's over,
who's public enemy number one?
I mean, who's the Mahomes guy? They walk in, it's like, you can never stop. Yeah, it's Mahomes in the playoffs.
And it's Burrow. Burrow's beaten him up. They've never beaten Burrow.
So there's a couple. But Henry, yeah, Hill, like, it is super impressive. And Jackson, too, but you got to be careful. Like,
it's a short list.
Yeah. Jackson, though, man, he's so talented. Like, you can just bet on every time the Bills play Lamar Jackson, they're going to shut him down or even keep him in check. It's tough, right? He'll get away from you. He'll one missed tackle, and it's 70 yards past you, him running.
Check what Kyler Murray did against them. I mean, Murray did get his rushing yards against the Bills. He extended drives. He made nice plays.
Yep.
Right? Like,
yeah, he was scrambling.
That's
first half especially.
That's what he did the best.
He was scrambling.
He scrambled, and they gave the ball to James Conner a million times and didn't throw it to Marvin Harrison Jr.
This would be the game where like their injuries are going to be tested the most. Warren Sharp says the Ravens like to attack teams over the middle of the field, and if you were a linebacker in this game, I think Tremaine Edmonds, in the last time they played, was often the guy in space against Lamar Jackson. That was the one game. So Jackson against the Bills has 10 scrambles. 7 of them were in that 2022 meeting where the Bills came back from down 20-0 or whatever. And what I remember in that game is often when it was Jackson in space, it was him against Tremaine Edmonds. And in this game, if he gets past the line, he's going against Baylen Spector or maybe Dorian Williams. Like, suddenly these linebackers who maybe we're getting insulated in the first couple games, these backup linebackers are going against an offense that likes to attack the middle of the field and a quarterback who they might have to tackle in open space.
Could they, so this is where like you go to your, when they went to three safeties, more of their dime package that they used to do with Jordan Poyer last year, right?
Yeah.
Like, you might wonder if you can do that against a run, a heavy formation if Baltimore brings that with Derrick Henry. Can I bring a lighter lineup in? But does the spot, if they spy Lamar, does it have to be a linebacker? Could it be a safety?
Could it be Cam Lewis? Or just any defensive back?
Yeah. Could. In passing situations.
That is, aren't the Bills going to do that? Aren't the Bills going to say to Baltimore, go ahead, run with Derrick Henry all day. See if you can beat us with Derrick Henry.
Especially
they might be able to.
And especially if their offensive line is banged up. Even asking them to do that still.
Yeah, like that. Maybe that's their game. Maybe their game plan is we're going to dare you to run it at Derrick Henry, and we're going to bet you don't get to the second level. We're going to bet our line is going to be destroying your line all day, and you're not even going to get to test our linebackers because you're not making it past Ed Oliver and DaQuan Jones against who our Baltimore guest said like their left guard right now is injured. He's the one that is still not practicing, and their right guard had never played right guard until this season.
And their center is limited.
And he's limited. Right. So the interior is maybe the part, especially, that's most banged up.
Right. Just to give you an example of how they feel about it, Brian Wacker, who we just had on at 7:30 from the Baltimore Sun, I was checking, you know, his tweets, his takes on what these injuries could mean. And what it means is it would be Ed Oliver against someone by the name of Ben Cleveland. That's the backup center.
Ben Cleveland?
Ben Cleveland.
Okay.
Or backup guard.
Like seems like a mismatch.
Ben, I don't know who
Ben Cleveland is, but.
Yeah.
Seems like
he might be going in at right guard. He might be going in somewhere like Ben Cleveland. Good luck, Ben Cleveland. Is it wrong for Baltimore? Would it be bad if the Bills had a player named Miami on the team?
Ben Miami?
I mean, it's Ben Cleveland. He plays for Baltimore. Like, get this guy out of here. I don't like Cleveland.
Shouldn't he be on the Browns?
Yes.
But feels like, you know, you should, if there's a guy in the league that your city or team name, like that's his name, you automatically get that player. That should be a rule. If there's a Ben Buffalo out there, he automatically has to be a Bill.
Like Keaton Bills.
Keaton Bills.
Me too. Right. Keaton Bills. Is he still around?
He's available though.
Okay.
I'm sure the Bills have his number. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 if you'd like to join us on any of this. We'll get a call in from Ron and Alden, then we'll remember some Ravens. Hey, Ron.
Hey, good morning. All right, I have the player, the one-hit wonder that no one can beat. I'm sorry, just can't be beat. And that would be Roger Maris, 61 home runs. He hit 30 home runs two more times in his career. Otherwise, he's a very pedestrian, average 15 home run hitter in 12 years. And he was a home run king forever, forever. So, I mean, think about it. Here he had a great year. He's not even in the Hall of Fame, which I think he should be just because he's famous for his. But all you've heard is Roger Maris, 61 home runs, 145 RBIs. Nothing was close until the 90s when the steroids happened. But how can any – there's no better one-hit wonder, and he was a hitter. So that's my opinion. I just think Roger Maris can't be beat. Thanks.
It's pretty good, but I'm looking at this guy's career. This is a 60s ball player, by the way. I think he's a two-hit wonder. Because he did win MVP the year before he hit those 61 home runs. So, he might go on the list of a two-hit wonder. I don't even know who he is because I was shoved in my face Yankee records by Aaron Judge 2 years ago interrupting SEC football games.
You're saying you don't know who Roger Maris was?
Not until the Aaron Judge home run chase, no. Unless I know the name. Is he like a Seinfeld reference, maybe? Might know him from that.
Hold on.
I know Yankees from Seinfeld. Bernie Tarnable, I think I know from Seinfeld.
Danny Tarnable,
thank you.
Allow our older listeners to just clutch their chest for a moment on how old we now are. That
what?
You're a completely functioning adult, and you're like, I didn't know who Roger Maris was until last year.
He debuted in 1957.
It's like Hank Aaron. Like, it's a pretty big name, though. To not know Roger Maris.
It's not a big name. This guy's telling me it's not like Hank Aaron because he's telling me this was a one-hit wonder.
No, but he was...
Hank Aaron is like all-time great.
He owned the record. He owned the record for a long time.
Which record?
The home runs in a season record.
For the AL?
No.
No? No, the home run record. Okay.
The record until McGuire and Sosa beat it.
Okay. McGuire and Sosa beat it when I was three.
All right. See, like I said, let everybody clutch their chest.
Right.
And feel old. One more home run one-hit wonder. Brady Anderson... I mean, he played forever. Brady Anderson hit 50 in a year, home runs, and then his other high was 24.
Okay.
And he often hit 18 and 15 and 20, but 50.
Yeah.
One year. Like, oh, I'm going to hit 50 homers.
We had another person tweet in Josh Gordon for this. 1,600 yards in a season.
Yeah.
He never had more than 737 was his next closest after that.
Mike in Lakewood. We'll get one more in. Hey, Mike.
All right, guys, my top contender, pun intended, is James Buster Douglas. Pedestrian career, knocks out Iron Mike Tyson and walks out with the belt.
Yep.
Great answer.
That's a good one. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, for boxing, that's got to be as good as it gets.
Peyton Hillis.
Great. Made the cover of Madden.
Great answer. 1,000-yard rusher, was a fullback, I think, the other years of his career.
Speaking of...
Quick sock, does Leicester City count for this?
Because they won a title.
They're a team, but yeah.
Yeah. Let's remember some more obscure people and remember some Ravens.
Oh, let's go.
You know, they play the Ravens.
Who's the guy you tweeted out about?
Eric Rett.
What's he, late 90s?
Running back. Maybe you remember. You don't. You out there. Maybe remember him with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Paul Hamilton has an Eric Rett jersey.
Is he an Iowa State guy?
I don't know. It might just have been that he liked the jersey. Eric Rett.
Really?
No, he went to Florida.
He went to Florida.
Yeah.
And then he played for the Ravens and the Bucks. And Paul has his jersey?
Yep. I mean, we used to have a WGR staff football game.
Okay.
And everyone would wear their obscure jerseys. And Paul's got some obscure jerseys. He has a Memphis Maniacs jersey, too. Or he did for a while. He had a powder blue Chargers jersey. Anyway, remember some Ravens.
All right.
Kyle Bowler.
Good. I'm going to go Elvis Dumervil.
Elvis Dumervil. Elvis Gerbach.
Two Elvises. How about Torrey Smith? Speed Demon, Torrey Smith.
I like Torrey Smith.
He was really fast.
Derek Mason.
He was good.
He was good.
Willis McGahee.
Yeah.
He was there. That's who the Bills traded him to, right?
Lee Evans. The Bills also traded him to Baltimore for like a fourth.
What other Bills Ravens crossover? Anquan Boldin.
Yeah, former Bill Anquan Boldin.
Tyrod won a Super Bowl as a backup in Baltimore. That's where he came from. John Brown, right?
Yep. Chris McAllister. Good defensive back for a long time there in Baltimore.
Oh, Sammy Watkins is a crossover.
Ah, yeah.
He was in Baltimore.
Qadri Ismail. Thank you to Sean for that one. Former Syracuse standout.
Qadri who?
Ismail. Yeah. He had a brother, Rocket. It was Rocket Ismail. You don't know the Rocket Ismail story. That's okay. It's not required.
Nope.
Sam Adams.
Yes.
Great crossover.
Yes. How about
Dennis Pitta?
Dennis Pitta. Todd Heap is a former Raven tight end. That's good.
I've got an odd number of Marshall Yanda responses. Apparently, he was a really good Ravens guard, Marshall Yanda. And, great one, the Goose, Tony Siragusa.
Oh, yeah. Tony Siragusa. What about some running backs? Jamal Lewis. How about... Oh, the Blind Side. Good tweet.
Michael
Orr. He was a Raven. Actually, I'm having trouble with running backs here. Jamal Lewis, Ray Rice, and then who's after that?
Bam Morris.
Sammy Morris?
No.
Bam Morris?
I don't know if that's the same guy.
Is it the same guy?
I don't think it is.
I think Sammy Morris, though, also played for the Ravens.
He might have.
Patriots and then Ravens, maybe?
Priest Holmes.
He was in Baltimore?
Yeah, for a minute. Musa Smith is a good answer. Former Georgia running back Musa Smith.
Yeah, they really do have a list of, like, this running back play. Le'Veon Bell played for the Ravens. Like, just Melvin Gordon. Like, they just started cycling through, like, the oldest running backs ever. Justin Forsett is a running back there in the middle that started. Brian Billick.
Coaches,
yeah.
And Harbaugh's only been there forever.
It's only been two.
Speaking of which, I was looking at that. John Harbaugh is the longest tenured coach out. Is it Tomlin and Harbaugh the same year?
That sounds right. They would be the same year.
Tomlin, 17 years. Harbaugh, 16 years. Reed, 11 years. Andy Reid. And then a three-way tie. McVay, Shanahan,
McDermott. Okay. Oh, Haloti Ngata.
Haloti Ngata, of course.
Unbelievable player.
Deion Sanders.
He retired and then came back to Baltimore, I think.
Sounds right. Jim Harbaugh.
Jacoby Jones. He passed away
recently.
Somebody
tweeted a picture of Jim Harbaugh. The Ravens logo used to be a shield with a B on it and wings off the side.
Yep. With, like, the Maryland flag maybe, like, somewhere in there, too.
There was
like,
that, there's too.
There's a pattern.
They do have a new helmet they've not yet worn this year, right?
Yes.
The front-looking Raven?
Yes, and it's purple with gold stripes, I think, if I have that right.
A lot of these teams... Okay, no. The new alternate helmet for the Ravens is, yes, purple and gold.
Purple and gold, okay. But the Raven itself is like, it's not the side of its head, it's the front.
It's
right.
Yeah, the Raven is looking at you with its face instead of like the side profile, yeah. All right. Chris Brown, when we return, it's Buffalo Bills Football Friday. Got to tell you who needs to get results for the Bills. Dan Chacha, who needs to get results? Brought to you by Dan Chacha, injury attorneys, no worries, just results. Who needs to get results in this game? I mean, you got one guy. I'll say the boundary receivers. If the story is that the Ravens focus on the middle of the field and put the ball to the outside, then you might need some results from Keon Coleman, MVS, Mac Hollins. Like they might, if things are pushed to the outside, you need your boundary receivers to get results.
Yeah.
There you go. That's who needs to get results. We will be back in a snap. Time for a break. Back in a snap brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. Chris Brown joins us next.
Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women.
Welcome into Football Friday. Jeremy and Joe welcoming Chris Brown on the Western Hotline in preparation for Bills, Ravens, and Sunday Night Football. Chris, good morning. I've got a fun little game to play right off the bat with you, if you'll indulge me.
Oh, boy. Okay. Good morning, fellas.
Well, I've heard Bills by the numbers, right? You give a number, and everyone tries to guess what that number is. I just found a good one that I kind of like. The number is minus 16. Minus 16 in this matchup.
Is that some kind of turnover differential?
Close. It is Baltimore's penalty differential. They are one of the most penalized teams in football this year, and it's going in the wrong direction. In week one, they got 7 penalties, week two, 11, and then in Dallas last week, 13. They are on pace for more penalties than ever in the John Harbaugh era. Baltimore are having trouble with penalties.
Yeah, 31 through 3 games, we kind of saw that earlier in the week, and I think we know that historically their corners, defensive backs, they don't care. They will hold, clutch, grab on every single play because they know the refs can't call it every single play. The interesting thing is I do know that I'm trying to remember the exact phrasing of this when we had the officials meeting in training camp with the ref crew that was in. I think it was Alex Kemp's crew that was with. He actually did the game last night. And they were talking about things that they're going to look closer at. This isn't necessarily the ones that they have a point of emphasis on. There's like a secondary list, and defensive holding is one of them. And knowing the approach of players like Marlon Humphrey and others in that Baltimore secondary, I would tend to think that they're probably calling some of those a little bit more than Baltimore is accustomed to seeing. I'll give you another number, though. 20-3, which is Baltimore's record in prime time at home since 2008.
Yeah, and they've got all black jerseys. They've got a name for this kind of game. They call it a Darkness Falls game. Both Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson talked about it. You know, through the week, we've asked and talked about it with Sal. Like the atmosphere there in Baltimore, it certainly comes through on television as one of the more electric places for a football game.
Yeah, particularly in prime time. I don't think I've been there for a prime time game since the J.P. Lossman days. But, yeah, it is noticeable. You feel it. And when the Ravens are rolling and momentum is on their side, the crowd backs them up in a big way. And it just kind of rolls from there. So it'll be imperative for the Bills to not let the game spin in that direction because it's very hard to stop that spin once it's going.
On the matchup, Chris, the Bills have had really good success at limiting both Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Jackson's like lowest yards per attempt against any team is the Bills. Henry, like a third of his production was one big run against the Bills. But now that they're next to each other, I don't know, how do you think they'll do trying to stop them both when they've done a pretty good job of stopping them individually, those two in particular?
Yeah, that's the big question this week, right? So I think Coach McDermott has obviously proven himself as a defensive mastermind for the most part in his tenure with the Bills. And, you know, Bobby Babich has done a pretty good job through these first 3 weeks. in his new chair as defensive coordinator. This is probably the stiffest test thus far this season. So this will be kind of a measuring stick game for the kind of game plan that Bobby Babbage can come up with probably some assistance from Coach McDermott in devising a way to cover both bases, so to speak. I'm not going to pretend to have the answers here, but that's why those guys get paid what they do, to come up with answers so their players can be successful. But basically the comments we've heard from the players all week is, with Derrick Henry, it's getting hats to the football. And with Lamar Jackson, it's been largely hemming him in the pocket, force him to make plays from the pocket, because that has proven successful. I mean, not only rushing yards with Lamar, but when they hem him in the pocket successfully by staying disciplined in their rush lanes, Lamar Jackson hasn't thrown for over 175 yards in any game against the Bills. So it's not just his legs. They've shut him down with the pass as well. And I think it's because when you force him to throw from the pocket, I think he gets a little jittery sometimes and makes ill-advised decisions.
You know, the first game of the season, Kyler Murray had a little bit of success scrambling. And I was surprised, when, Joe, you gave the numbers about how often Lamar has scrambled against the Bills total.
I think it's 10 total in the last – 10 scrambles in the last three meetings.
Yeah, like 10 in three meetings. That's not a lot. So they're doing the job of keeping him in. You know, you've got discipline, right, for the defense, Chris, and whether it's somebody that's going to spy him or someone in the secondary making a tough choice, it really is about the rush lanes and what kind of rush packages they put together in a game like this.
Yeah, and I think what the Bills have historically done well, and you hear them talk about this too, is marrying the rush with the coverage. So one helps the other, and a lot of teams talk about it, but the Bills do an outstanding job of executing it, and that will be important, you know, on Sunday night, because if you only have one and not the other, it can lead to inconsistencies in your defensive play call, and that can lead to big plays for the opposition.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. Chris, the challenge for the Bills, like the middle of their defense, this is another game where they're not going to have Taron Johnson or Terrell Bernard. And there's some numbers on how often the Ravens go to the middle of the field. And I just wonder how you think Spector, Williams, Lewis, like that trio really has looked through their first couple games together. And given that this game, especially with Lamar's rushing ability, Henry, and then they like to throw it over the middle, it's probably going to be their steepest test.
Right. I think what helps them a little bit is the fact that when they play Miami, they often try to close off the middle of the field to Tua, knowing that's where he typically thrives. Lamar is similar in that regard, and so maybe reps in preparing for Miami twice a year will help them be ready to do something similar to Lamar Jackson and the passing attack for the Ravens. I think the one difference here is you have to respect Derrick Henry so much. I'm looking for Todd Monken, the OC for the Ravens, to try to use play action. Although Lamar is in the shotgun a ton, I'm kind of anticipating at least some under center Lamar to get the downhill running game as a threat and force the Bills linebackers to respect Henry in the run game, get them cheating up, and then try to exploit the passing voids behind them. That's a really tough thing.
Yeah.
For a linebacker to stay disciplined with the entire game. That, to me, that's the biggest challenge for those guys there at the second level.
And even though, you know, I know these guys are NFL players, of all the running backs to maybe get in your head the week of a game, I mean, Derrick Henry, you know, he takes souls on some of these runs. He threw a man to the ground in Dallas, and Josh Norman, I mean, a play that didn't even count. You know, like, if you're a defender, you are on the defensive quite a bit when it comes to Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and you feel like you have to bring momentum to your tackle. So you're already ramping up to fire and shoot the gap so you can meet him with some measure of momentum so you are not steamrolled. And so with that in your head, you're almost kind of cheating and leaning that way. And that's why I'm actually surprised that Baltimore hasn't used play action more, because with that guy in your backfield – who has to be respected on every snap, I really think Baltimore is missing a golden opportunity there. Maybe we'll see them turn to that Sunday night.
And one thing on the other side of the ball, the Bills offense, which has been you know, really sharp to start the season, near perfect against Jacksonville, if not perfect. How much will things change on the road? Do they have to be a little simpler? Is you know, a silent count, probably a silent snap, that's probably going to be in the mix. And do they run the risk, or is there potential for some more miscommunication? Does Joe Brady have to maybe kind of rein things in a little bit that you can't do as much as you might want to at home?
I mean, I suppose you could make an argument for that, but I'm not anticipating that. You've got a veteran quarterback. You've got a quality offensive line that's been in a lot of these primetime games before as a unit. So I don't think they're reducing the volume of what they want to get accomplished. I think that we didn't maybe get a full gauge as to what a game plan on the road in a primetime environment looks like in the Thursday night game in Miami, because things kind of set up rather nicely for them. They were put on short fields. They were in plus territory for four of their 10 possessions against the Dolphins. So maybe the whole playbook didn't have to get opened, so to speak, with the way that game went. But I think they feel there are some things they're going to be able to take advantage of. I know it's been mentioned already that the Ravens have given up 17 plays of 20 yards or more. That leads the league. Their pressure rate is down in the mid-20s in the league as well. They're not generating enough pressure. That's part of the reason they signed Yannick Ngakoue to their practice squad this week. So if they don't blitz, they're having a tough time getting home to quarterbacks, and that leaves the back end vulnerable. You know, I just talked about marrying rush with coverage. John Harbaugh said it flat out this week. We have not done that defensively, and they have a new defensive coordinator in Zach Orr. He's only 31 years old. He's never called plays before. He's doing it from the sidelines, and he has not pulled it all together on the defensive side of the ball. I'm hoping the Bills can exploit that.
Chris Brown, he'll have the call with Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio from Baltimore, comes Sunday night. Thanks, Chris.
All right, you got it, guys.
Buffalo Bills football Friday continues. Prime time in Baltimore.
He's since the Lossman days. Is there a prime time Baltimore game somewhere there in the drought?
I got to think of it. I remember the game where Fitz threw for 400 yards, right? And they lost because of a forward progress fumble. Sean Nelson was ruled to have fumbled and he had been stopped for like five minutes.
They were holding him up in the air,
yes,
weren't they?
Yes. Lossman, prime time. There's not been a lot of good Baltimore memories.
No.
All right, we're going to break in on Football Friday, the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. Coming up top of the hour, we'll take you through all the games in the league this week, storylines, all that good stuff. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Here's the 1-2, Jankowski to Schumann. And the ground ball will end things. A 3-2 win for the Oakland Athletics. One more win for the Oakland fans.
Wow, the Moneyball soundtrack's actually perfect for the end of the pairing here.
57 years. One headline, fans throw objects and storm the field. They ended with a 3-2 win.
Did they?
That's what I've got.
They stormed the field after? I didn't see that.
A fan ran onto the field top of the ninth inning. Objects were thrown. My memories of the Oakland A's. My first early memories of baseball, Joe, are the 1988 A's. I mean, Ricky Henderson, McGuire, Canseco, Terry Steinbach, Mike Gallego, I think, is on that team.
Okay.
Is Jose Canseco's brother on that team at one point?
Okay.
Let's remember some A's. David Justice.
Eckersley. I'm only going to be having
Scott Hatterberg.
That was the Moneyball movie.
Dave Stewart was
Giambi.
Dave Stewart was awesome. Awesome pitcher. Who else? Bob Welch.
Johnny Damon.
I'm looking up the 1988 Oakland A's.
Who's the guy with the mustache? Raleigh Fingers?
No, he wasn't on that team, I don't think. Walt Weiss. Walt Weiss is a name I'm looking for.
Okay.
Don Baylor is the DH.
Dallas Braden. That's more recent, but perfect game 10 years ago.
Rick Honeycutt. This is the Moneyball soundtrack?
This is the Moneyball soundtrack.
Is this Explosions in the Sky?
No, it's... I forget now. It's like I think it's like the Grand Rio Grande or something like that. It's by This Will Destroy You.
Okay.
It's like a 13-minute song.
So the stadium is closing too, I believe. The Bills' record all time at Oakland Coliseum, 1-9. And their only win was their first ever game there in 1966.
The mighty Rio Grande.
Yeah. Their last game in the Oakland Coliseum was a 2016 loss to Jack Del Rio's Raiders, 38-24. And then the one previous to that is one of the most infuriating Bills losses that I can remember during the drought. They played at a 2-win Raiders team after beating the Packers. Remember, they beat Rodgers here, the Bakari Rambo game we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
They went on the road to play a 2-12 Raider team with an 8-6 record. Like, okay, they might make it. They have a chance here. They beat Rodgers. Now go play a bad Raider team, and they lost to the Raiders.
I blocked that one out of my memory.
Oh, it was horrible.
That was where they beat the Packers, Doug Marrone and the Bills brass claimed that the team had changed the culture because they beat the Packers that day.
And then they lost to the 2-win Raiders the next week on a baseball field.
Okay. That's tough.
But yeah, there's a loss in 05 here. There's a loss, you mentioned one in 04.
13-10.
13-10.
Takiyo Spikes got held in the end zone. They called it like at the 1.
Then there's a gap.
And they admitted they got the call wrong after the fact.
Did they?
Yeah. The NFL apologized. Sorry about that.
I was going to say, they never do that.
Yeah.
Then there's a gap. There's no game between 77 and 2004, but that's because they were in L.A., I think.
Right. 803-0550, the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy, a beautiful fall day here. Enjoy it. Jeremy and Joe, one more hour, and then off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sean McDermott will speak with Sal coming up in that show as well. So plenty to get to as a Football Friday continues. Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.